Well, today's sermon was to be politics-free. Like many of you, I too needed a break from all the news we wake up to every morning. Plus, for goodness sakes, it's Blessing of the Animals weekend, when our focus should be on the love we have for our pets and their precious presence in our lives. Case in point. But then our first reading from the prophet Habakkuk came along. O Lord, how long shall I cry for help and you will not listen? Or cry to you violence and you will not save? Why do you make me see wrongdoing and look at trouble? Destruction and violence are before me, strife and contention arise, so the law becomes slack and justice never prevails. So politics it is. But frankly, I'm tired of it. I'm tired of feeling called to interpret the wickedness I see all around me week in and week out, and yet somehow offer an encouraging message to sustain your spirits, because as your spiritual shepherd, I am called to do so. I don't know what my words do for you each week, but I hope that at least by my standing up here and stating this is not okay, and it flies in the face of all that Jesus taught us about how we are to treat one another, you may at least feel that you are not alone in your anxiousness or fear. You may recall that in my sermon last week, I mentioned an insightful conversation I had with one of our Republican parishioners, a dear man whom I love, and with whom I will never agree on any number of things. I thought that at least to honor his perspective and to try to see things from his point of view, I should look at some news source that isn't biased towards the left, as he puts it, i.e. the New York Times or the Guardian. But I just couldn't handle watching Fox News. So I thought, maybe USA Today. Kind of neutral, kind of bland. I focused on an article about the raid on the 5-story apartment building on Chicago's South Side this past Tuesday. 300 federal agents and other officers, some rappelling down from Black Hawk helicopters. The article notes, videos of the raid shared online by the Department of Homeland Security show Border Patrol agents with guns drawn approaching the building in the middle of the night. Agents led shirtless men outside. An agency spokesperson said the raid was aimed at capturing members of Tren de Aragua, a Venezuelan gang President Donald Trump has designated as a terrorist organization. Hundreds of agents swarmed apartments in the multi-story building, detaining several American citizens, including children, for hours, and netting 37 total arrests. I know. The outcome of those arrests remains unclear. And then a quote. Our continued targeted enforcement in Chicago shows criminals have nowhere to hide, Michael Banks, the chief of U.S. Border Patrol, said in an ex post. Not at the border, not in our cities. Well, I don't like violent gangs either. But 37 arrests, was it worth it to traumatize so many when most of those taken will likely turn out not to be gang members? Was it even legal? Not that that seems to matter so much anymore. Or was traumatizing the whole point of the military-style ICE raid? They ransacked apartments, leaving them like a tornado had just hit. They broke down doors and busted windows, harassed, in equal measure, I will say, U.S. citizens and non-citizens alike, and put fear in the hearts of thousands of others. My sister, who lives in Chicago, texted, "I only go to the office, grocery shopping, and to visit the Virgin Mary. That's it. Afraid really to go anywhere else." Some say they terrorized children. The New York Times, which could be biased, noted that they zip-tied children together and left them in cold, dark vans for hours. And Newsweek magazine, considered by some a center-right publication, had this headline: ICE agents dragged naked children out of homes in Chicago raid, colon, neighbors. That's what the neighbors said. They could be exaggerating. One final quote from USA Today's article. About 71.5% of nearly 60,000 people currently in ICE detention have no criminal convictions, according to the Transactional Records Access Clearinghouse, a research group at Syracuse University. If this statistic is true, should we assume that it's worth it for having captured that 28.5% with criminal convictions, although they aren't actually in prison anymore? I don't know if it sounds like I'm being sarcastic, but I truly did try to see this one news story without any bias for at least 5 minutes, and I failed. Because with every detail from these newspapers and magazines, I kept picturing a little girl shivering in a cold, dark van in the middle of the night, handcuffed with a twisty tie. I imagined what it might feel like to be awakened at 2 a.m. by hundreds of armed soldiers and agents, guns drawn, breaking down my door and dragging me out of my own home. I envisioned people returning to their ransacked apartments after it was over, trying to put their things back together, probably already living financially on the edge, and now their mattress is torn open, their food splayed across the kitchen floor. And I heard the voice of the woman mentioned in the USA Today article crying out to her detained boyfriend or husband in broken Spanish, "I'll always love you." Once again, I am guilty of the sin of empathy. And I can see why empathy is the enemy of thugs, whose only weapon against such empathy is to strike fear and terror in our hearts. But I also refuse to believe that empathy is only practiced by liberals. Or rather, I'm trying very hard not to believe the opposite. Our immigration system is absolutely broken. That much is obvious. I can't even begin to fathom the intricacies of how we would fix it. But that's not my job. It's Congress's. And I don't hold out much hope that they will fix this or much of anything anytime soon. And one more thing. I truly wish I could understand how the other side is thinking. Maybe because of my chat with my Republican friend, I've been trying to hold out a little more kindness and understanding to folks I just don't think I will ever understand. But I do have a bias. I happen to think it's not one opinion versus another. I believe there are moral, ethical, and humanitarian implications to the beliefs we hold, to the people we vote into office, and to the actions we condone or condemn. I believe good and evil exist in these matters. And I think God will hold us accountable one day, as it says in our psalm. Do not fret yourself because of evildoers. Do not be jealous of those who do wrong, for evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait upon the Lord shall possess the land. You know, I'm no hero, though, just to be clear. I have my dark and unforgiving thoughts every single day. When a friend's sister-in-law expressed surprise at her anger at these raids, saying, "Really? Well, I guess it's not surprising given all the Mexicans who have moved in," I had thoughts in my heart about that person. As I said, today's sermon was to be politics-free. But you are blessed and cursed with a rector who hasn't yet figured out how to pretend the world isn't on fire, who believes we must keep naming evil when we see it, lest it become normalized. The prophet Habakkuk lived around 600 BC at a time when Judah had fallen into political intrigue and idolatry, 15 years before the Babylonians came and destroyed Jerusalem. I do not know what the next 15 years holds for our country, but we must remain vigilant and make Habakkuk's stance our own, who writes, "I will stand at my watchpost and station myself on the rampart. I will keep watch to see what God will say to me." And I ask your prayers for me and for all clergy, that we have the strength and integrity to preach and do as God commands Habakkuk. Write the vision, make it plain on tablets, for there is still a vision for the appointed time. It speaks of the end and does not lie. If it seems to tarry, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay. I'm almost done. So on this Blessing of the Animals weekend, commemorating St. Francis of Assisi, I close with a prayer attributed to him. Lord, make us instruments of your peace. Where there is hatred, let us sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is discord, union. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. Grant that we may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. Amen.